Rules of Engagement, Commentary for the March 8, 2025 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Revelation 12, verses 3 through 4a. As mentioned in last week's commentary, there was war in heaven between the dragon, Satan, and his followers, and the angels loyal to God, led by Michael. When we consider Earth's history and all its conflicts, it seems strange that heaven, a place we associate with peace and tranquility, could have been filled with warfare and strife. Nonetheless, Revelation chapter 12 tells the story of that great battle and how the devil and his followers were cast to the earth, losing their place in heaven as a price of their rebellion against God. Michael is often referred to as the archangel, which could mean leader of the angels or ruler of the angels. In Hebrew, his name means who is equal to God. Note that I wrote that as a statement rather than as a question. Punctuation that often did not exist in the original texts was later added by others based on the dogma they were trained to accept. This means that definitions can be malleable based on what punctuation is added. Seventh-day Adventists who believe that the dead remain in the grave asleep until Jesus returns are familiar with this issue. The statement by Jesus to the thief on the cross, "I say unto you today, you shall be with me in paradise," has long been deciphered by several denominations as though a comma comes after the first "you." Adventists place a comma after the word "today." This is an example where the understanding of the text comes from whether the translator believes a person goes immediately to heaven or hell when they die, or they rest in the grave until Jesus comes again. While the former idea also conforms to the thinking of those who followed the pagan religions of old, the idea does not seem to agree with Pauline theology in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 54. Instead, Paul sees the dead sleeping in the grave until the sounding of the last trumpet calls them to rise in the resurrection of the dead at the parousia. Returning to the subject of Michael, if the name is a question, it could mean that no one, not even Michael, is equal to God. But if instead it is a statement that he is one who is equal to God, this could be referring to Jesus leading the heavenly host against Satan, and would explain why Jesus said he personally witnessed Satan's fall from heaven in Luke 10, verse 18. Further support leans toward this idea in parallel passages in Zechariah in the Old Testament, and the Epistle of Jude in the New Testament. Jude says that Michael disputed with Satan about the body of Moses, while Zechariah says it was the Lord who disputed with Satan about Joshua, in Jude 1, verse 9, and Zechariah 3, verse 1 and 2. In both instances, the same wording is used by both Michael and the Lord. While not conclusive, it does offer support for the idea that Jesus and Michael, who is equal to God, are the same. Also, if Jesus was personally involved in casting Satan and all the evil that accompanied him to the earth, it could explain his intimate involvement with saving mankind through his 33.5 years of incarnation as part of the process of bringing us back to God. When Satan was cast out of heaven, he was not cast out alone. All the angels who followed him were cast out also. How many would that be? According to the passage cited at the beginning of this commentary, the dragon swept 1/3 of the stars out of heaven. Earlier in the book of Revelation, we read that stars represent angels in Revelation 1, verse 20. Revelation also gives us a look into heaven and the angels surrounding God's throne with a statement that there were thousands times thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. That's Revelation 5, verse 11. We may be comfortable in assuming this was not a literal counting of a host. That may have seemed innumerable and could have been John's falling back to Daniel's comment about their number in Daniel 7, verse 10. While not sure of its accuracy, nonetheless, it would indicate that at a minimum, the number of angels present was 104 million. If that was the two-thirds of the angels who remained loyal to God, then the one-third cast out with Satan would be at least 52 million. That is lots of evil to be poured out upon our planet. When I was a child, Disneyland broadcast Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Walt Disney did a prequel to the movie where he asserted that the leprechauns were the angels cast out of heaven, complete with illustrations of the war in heaven. As a child, I did not understand the significance of what he was saying, only that it sounded scary. Later, as a theology student, one of my professors opined that he believed that the fallen angels were the pagan deities and demigods of old. Whether this is correct or not, it begs the question of what are all these fallen angels doing? If they're engaged in subverting humanity, ever having peace or hope in this life, they are doing a remarkable job of it. Most seem to be constantly driven by fear, a dread of what is coming. Jesus even warned us of how terrible things would get in this war between good and evil. He prophesied, "At that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." But he also went on to say that those who endure, who keep on loving to the end, will be saved. Matthew 24, verses 10 through 13. How do I know he was referring to continuing to love? The disciple who referred to himself as the one Jesus loved answered that question. He wrote, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." 1 John 4:8. When we look at our leaders, both political and religious, we see a desire to invoke fear and to manipulate others through that fear. We see an evil desire to bring down fire on their enemies in vengeance for slights, both imagined and real. There is little compassion or empathy, but abundant amounts of betrayal and backstabbing. Everything seems to devolve into how much wealth can be bled out of a situation. These are not the sentiments of heaven. They come from a different source. They arise from Satan and his multitude of fallen minions. Satan can be an angel of light, and his followers can even appear as popular preachers of righteousness, according to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. Their ranks do not end there. Many of the over 7 billion people inhabiting the planet have gone over to their side, drawn by the carrot of wealth offered to those who cooperate. It is no small truth that love of money is a fertile ground for all sorts of evil, according to 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. Far too many have worn for years the golden shackles of debt forged from their vain pursuit of wealth at any cost. The political and economic instability feeds into the fear that leads people to gamble their resources in an attempt to ride the wild current of the stock market, the lotteries, bitcoins, or the next sure thing that promises a future but only bleeds the coins from their pockets until there is little left and hope dies. How we end up will depend on whose carriage we hitch ourselves to. We can go after that golden carrot and become so financially committed to wispy promises of future wealth that we can see no other way than to continue to follow in the train of the wealthy, where we will join them in their ultimate fate. Or we can find true freedom in Christ, according to John 8, verse 36. Instead of pursuing those riches and the devil to take the hindmost, we can love others and find freedom from that struggle. The only reason people get on that racetrack for wealth is fear of not having enough. Jesus recognized this and spoke of it in his Sermon on the Mount. He told his followers, So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. According to Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. For 28 years, Stillwater's ministry has operated with the faith that God will keep this ministry going and will care for us. We do not ask for donations, and if they are offered, we do not accept them. God has proven the counsel from Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount to be true. There are many false apostles who go about begging offerings in return for being allowed to be called their followers, members of their sect or denomination. There is only one we should follow if we would have salvation from evil that seems prevalent everywhere. If we do, and we cherish his word, we will see where truth is, and it is not in the mountains of riches accumulated by the powerful in this life. Their hearts are only governed by how much more they can add to their golden tombstone, the memorial they created in this life, as surely as Jacob Marley formed the chains he wore. May God guide us to a better end. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles by the author, as well as books he has written. Once again, that is Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.